Hi friends, welcome back to another episode of Healthy Heart with Dr. Rohit Sane, a podcast series by Dr. Sane aimed at spreading the right education about heart health, how you can keep your heart healthy and how you can stay away from heart disease. At the same time, if you or any of your loved one has a heart problem, not to worry, it can be solved. This heart podcast series is aimed to help you provide the right pearls for that. Now, joining us once again is the founder of Madhabag and our expert, Dr. Rohit Sane. Dr. Sane, welcome back to this podcast episode. Great to have you back over here.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Aman.
Dr. Sane, in our today's podcast series, we'll be covering a topic that bothers people a lot. That is about the heart blockages. We see on your YouTube channel, you're covering a lot of cases about heart blockages and you're showing excellent results. But then there are a lot of questions that come from people and people are scared at times when it comes to heart blockages. So first, let us start by understanding what exactly are heart blockages.
Okay. Like for example, everybody must be knowing that when we normally travel on a road or we travel on any highway, we should be having some zebra crossing, we should be having some kind of speed breakers on our way. So those speed breakers are a concept which is very, very close to a blockage in your coronary artery. That means a blockage in your heart vessels. I'll still explain you. These blockages, what we normally, in layman terms, it is called as blockages, but in medical terminology, it is called as atherosclerosis. So, this blockage being a layman term, in this medical terminology where we call it as coronary atherosclerosis, athero means a fat plaque and sclerosis means the stiffness of the blood vessel that comes in because of this fat plaque. So, atherosclerosis is nothing else but a stiff artery in which some kind of fatty tissue is been found stuck inside. So, that is nothing else but blockage. So, first and foremost thing that everybody thinks about, that a blockage needs a surgery to be treated, that is not completely right. Blockages can be treated without surgery also. They can be reversed back towards normal without a surgery. So blockages is nothing else but a fatty streak inside the blood vessel which may or may not block the blood supply in spite of these blockages being 100% thick also. There are chances that the blood might flow through the blockages to 100% also. So anatomical blockages, anatomical plaques don't directly correlate with the physiological obstruction of the blood flow. So that is how we don't have to be afraid about blockages.
Wonderful explanation, Dr. Sane. Yes. But the question comes is that blockages are often associated with heart attack. People are told that you have blockages, that means you are going to get heart attack. So can you explain us about that?
Okay. Now, you are absolutely right that many a times people normally think that heart attack is due to a blockage. But we are supposed to understand this concept in detail. There are many incidences in which heart attack, post-heart attack, when the body was under, was dissected and it was seen post-mortem, that was this heart attack because of a blockage? It was seen that many a times the heart attack which was seen in this individual was seen in a blood vessel where there were no blockages at all. So, this point clarifies this question that blockages do lead to heart attack? Question mark. Answer is no. A heart attack is because of a blood clot. And this blockage is nothing else but a fat plaque. So there is a difference between a fat plaque and a blood clot. The blood clot, obviously, as the name suggests, it is formed due to cells called as platelets in the blood. While the fat plaque, which is called as a blockage as a layman terms, this blockage is formed because of cholesterol in your blood. So a fat plaque is a result of cholesterol, while this blood clot is a result of platelet getting aggregated inside the blood vessel itself. So both these concepts are completely different. So a heart attack is never because of a fat plaque itself. The heart attack is always due to a blood clot. Now, there are few incidences wherein this fat plaque, if at all, the amount of cholesterol aggregating inside the fat plaque goes beyond the control of this blood vessel wall. This blood vessel wall might erode, it might rupture, and this rupture might tear out this blood vessel completely. And the tear that this blood vessel goes through might lead to the production of a blood clot. So, if at all your fat plaque, the blockage, the layman term blockage, the fat plaque, the cholesterol blockage that you're talking about, if this cholesterol blockage doesn't tear out, it will never lead to a heart attack. But if at all, in spite of this fat plaque, in spite of this cholesterol blockage not being inside the blood vessel, still, if at all, due to several other reasons like smoking, like stress, or there are several reasons which could lead to the tear of this blood vessel, because of several reasons, when this blood vessel gets torn out, it would lead to a blood clot formation, and this blood clot formation would lead to a heart attack. And the fat plaque that we are afraid about is nothing to be afraid about, because this fat plaque, if at all it's a stable plaque inside and it doesn't rupture, then it would not lead to a heart attack. So these are two different diseases that everybody has to be aware about. One is the fat plaque, and the second one is a blood clot. Heart attack is associated with the blood clot and not completely to this fat plaque. So whenever you are thinking about a heart attack, think about measures that will help you to prevent this blood clot formation in your vessels.
Great, sir. So one thing that you clearly said is there is a heart attack is because of blood clot. Now the fat plaque that is formed, you said sometimes the blood vessel cannot handle it and it may erode. What are those situations, and what is the risk of blockage that is fat plaque eroding and causing a blood clot?
Okay. About a decade back, the researchers used to mention that which plaque can erode, which plaque can rupture. A decade back, the researchers used to predict that only those plaques will erode which have a huge amount of blockage percentage. Like for example, when you get an angiogram done, it has been mentioned that it's a 90% blockage, it's a 100% blockage, and you have a very, very high chance of developing a heart attack. This was predicted long back, 10 years, 20 years back, by the researchers without any data. But recent researchers clearly mention that which plaques erode, which plaques burst, which plaques rupture, it's only those plaques which are milder in grade. Many a times 20%, 30%, 50% plaques erode and they lead to formation of a blood clot. So when the researchers studied this whole scenario in detail, what did they infer was every plaque, every fat blockage has a covering on it which is called as endothelium, or else the capsule covering of this fat plaque, whether it is vulnerable or whether it is not vulnerable. This is going to decide which plaque is going to burst and when is it going to burst. So if the capsule, if the covering of this fat blockage is thinned out, if the muscular covering or if the endothelial covering of this fat blockage is very, very thinned out, there are high chances that the plaque might rupture. But in spite of these blockages being 20%, 30%, 50%, 90%, 100%, in spite of whatever is the percentage of this plug and the capsule of this plug, the covering of this plug is tough inside and it is absolutely strong inside, the chances of rupture of these plugs, these fat blockages, are very, very less. So, which plugs do burst? Which blockages burst? Only those blockages burst for whom the plug covering, the capsule of this plug, if at all it's gone very, very thin, only those plugs will rupture. So, many a times the researchers earlier used to say that 80, 90, 100% blockages might be the most vulnerable to rupture, but actual evidences post-mortem have shown that those plugs are more vulnerable to rupture. All those plugs which are 20, 30, 50 milder grade plugs are seen to rupture more frequently than these 80, 90, 100% plugs. So that is how this is very important to understand which plug is going to rupture and why are these going to rupture.
So Dr. Sane, coming from this, how does a lay person, as a patient, how do I know what is my plug condition?
Okay, it's not so difficult. There are a few investigations which we normally called as a CT angiography. Normally, there is an angiography, an invasive angiography, and there is a CT angiography. A CT angiography is a non-invasive test, and a CT angiography with a volumetric plaque assessment can show you how much is the thickness of your capsule of your plaque. That is one. As well, through an invasive angiography, you have certain more better technology post this invasive angiography, which is called as IVUS, I-V-U-S, named investigation, which can be performed along with this invasive angiography, which will give you the understanding of your plaque covering or else the plaque cover that we are talking about. If this plaque cover is to be assessed or judged, these investigations can help you identify whether this plaque is supposed to rupture or not. So, though we have a lot amount of investigations to identify whether this plaque is supposed to rupture or not, still, the technology that whatever this human race has is not enough to identify which plaque will rupture and which will not, and when will it rupture and when will it not. So there is a huge amount of limitation yet to the medical science to identify which exact plaque would rupture and which would not. So at the end of the day, it's only the lifestyle that we follow which will improve this plaque cover to make this plaque a bit stable and not reduce down the chances of rupture of these plaques.
Great, Dr. Sane, great. So that really answers a lot of questions. And a couple of questions that have come from our viewers asking about whether 20%, 30% or a smaller plaque can rupture, and that's what you have answered quite fantastically over here. Now, it is also said that blockages are present in almost everyone. To some level or the other, everyone will have a certain level of plaque collection in their blood vessels. What can we do to prevent the rupture of these plaque collections? And if we don't know, one, and two, if you obviously know that there are blockages, what should be done for that? Because people, the moment they see some amount of plaque collection on a CT angiography or angiography, they're told immediately that please go in for a surgery.
I'll answer them one by one. You were right on the target that yes, the plaques start getting developed in our body at a very, very early age. It has been observed that with 7 to 10 year individuals, the kids of not more than 14 years of age, when normally studies have been done on those kids also, it has been found that the plaque development had begun in their coronary arteries also. So nowadays, the lifestyle that we live.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Is majorly the reason for this degeneration that is happening inside the body. Now, why will I call it as degeneration? Because this concept is the solution of the problem that you have asked, the second problem that you have asked for. So I'll try to explain it in a depth. I would call it as degeneration. The reason behind it is, like, whenever an individual goes through any kind of stress, there is a huge amount of biochemical changes that happening inside the body affect the blood, and the blood turbidity as it goes on increasing, the specific gravity as it goes on increasing, the vessel wall, the blood vessel wall, which is supposed to manage this blood pressure inside, the whole mathematics that is supposed to be maintained inside, that goes for a toss. Like, for example, if at all a kid of 12 years, 14 years of age, if at all that kid is going through any kind of stress, or else you take any individual at any age, if at all that individual is going through any kind of stress, the biochemical analysis of the blood is completely different from an individual who is not under stress. Now, because of these changes in the blood, there is a huge amount of damage that happens to the blood vessel wall. There are several hormones that come in action, which normally attack on this blood vessel wall inside layer, which is called as endothelium. Our medical science clearly says that if the endothelium is completely intact, the endothelium of this blood vessel wall, the internal lining of this blood vessel wall, which is called an endothelium, if it is completely healthy, it would never lead to formation of any blockage, neither a heart attack. Now, what happens exactly is whenever this endothelium gets damaged, the repair of this endothelium is the job profile of your cholesterol. So, whenever an individual undergoes a stress, the endothelium gets ruptured, and to heal this endothelium, cholesterol is being manufactured by your liver and transported to this area of damage with the help of LDL, the low density lipoprotein carrier, is normally supposed to carry this cholesterol manufactured by the liver. So from the liver, it is supposed to be transported to the damage site to repair the whole damage. Now, what happens is, if at all this was only once in the whole lifetime, the repair would have been done and the job would have finished. But whenever there is a chronic stress that goes on in everybody's life, the damage becomes continuous. As the damage goes on continuous, obviously the production of cholesterol will be continuous. As soon as the production of cholesterol goes overboard, obviously the serum level of cholesterol is going to increase. So the plasma cholesterol, as soon as it increases, obviously more amount of cholesterol will reach to these points of damage, and there would be extra healing that happens inside this vessel wall, which is normally termed as inflammation by our medical science. Now, whenever there is extra healing, obviously there is something called as speed breakers, which will be formed inside this vessel wall, because of this extra healing. And this extra healing, or these speed breakers, or these fatty streak accumulation on the vessel wall related to cholesterol, terms as blockage by our angiography reports. So that is how a blockage is being formed. Now, if at all I am supposed to reduce down the formation of blockages, one, or else I am supposed to reduce down the vulnerability, the friability of this vessel wall, if at all I am supposed to keep that in control, what am I supposed to do is two, three things that form the most important recipe to keep your heart disease in control. The first thing is going to be keep the stress in control. Whatever is happening in your life is supposed to happen. Accept it as much as you can. If you accept that, the stress levels will go down. As well, you have various different techniques to keep your stress under control. So, the first thing is going to be keeping your stress under control. The second thing is going to be your diet. The diet will form a very important thing, because overeating is a sign of stress, as well as overeating also leads to stress. The specific gravity of blood as well as the turbidity of blood will change if at all you consume more amount of carbohydrates as well as higher calorie of foods. So your diet is going to form a very, very important part to keep your heart disease in control. And the third most important thing is going to be regular exercises. It has been mentioned by several researchers that as soon as you start exercising, there are several happy hormones that generate inside your blood, which keep your endothelium healthy. So at the end of the day, if at all your endothelium is healthy, you have done the job. So regular exercises, second is going to be good balanced diet, and the third thing is going to keep your stress under control. If you do these three things, you will never need a cardiologist in your whole life, as your heart will be absolutely normal and free from all these blockages.
Wonderful, wonderful, Dr. Sane. I really love that explanation. And I'm sure this simplified explanation and how you have simplified it and yet explained it in depth will definitely reduce the fears of a lot of our patients who have been listening over here and who have been sending us these questions. Dr. Sane, you have shown number of cases of blockages being reversed. So, how do the blockages actually reverse, one? And we'll come to the second question, following question from this, after you answer this first part. So how do the blockage reverse?
Okay, so it's not such a difficult thing to explain, because it's very, very obvious. Everything in this world will reverse in the same way that it got manufactured or it got produced. So if at all we see the whole movie in the right manner, why did the blockages form is because of three important things. The first one was your stress, the second was diet, and the third was exercise. Now, these were the wrong lifestyle techniques or tacks that we followed for so many years, but this reversal will begin as soon as you start with the right step on the first day itself. The blockages starts reversing. So a layman concept that you need to understand is, once you stop providing wrong things to your body, the body will start providing good things to you. So as a layman, this would be an easier concept to explain about how does the blockage reverse. But there are several case studies that we have been presenting on the YouTube. Everybody can go and have a look at it. But along with that, the medical concept of blockage reversal is very, very easy. Now, everybody must be knowing about LDL and HDL. LDL is the low density lipoprotein, while the HDL is the high density lipoprotein. As these low density lipoproteins are responsible for this blockage formation, at the same time, HDL, the high density lipoproteins, are responsible for blockage retrieval. So these HDL have a clear job profile of picking up this extra amount of cholesterol from the plaque inside. They just pull out that cholesterol from the plaque and get it back to the liver and destroy that excess amount of cholesterol and excrete it through the bile juice that the liver secretes and throws out through the feces. Now, if this HDL is growing day by day, or along with HDL growing, if at all you reduce down the LDL production in your body, that itself shows that the damage that was happening inside the body has reduced down. So, a concept very simple: lower down your LDL, increase your HDL. If you do that, the blockage reversal progression, the blockage reversal starts and the progression stops. So, the best way to explain blockage reversal is nothing else but good diet, good exercise, and good stress control. So, without any medicines, without any great efforts, you'll be able to pull down this progression of plaques inside your body, and that is going to be the best way without any adverse effects to reach your target.
Awesome, awesome. Lovely explanation, Dr. Sane. And I really enjoyed this episode. And the last bit before I go is that the fear that people undergo when they are told that they have blockages, and they are in that mindset to rush towards getting a surgery. Now, with Madhubag's treatment methodology, you reverse the blockages in a period of 3, 4, 5 months, depending on the size, position, etc. of the blockages. So the question that patients ask is that surgery is like kind of an instant fix versus Madhubag treatment takes a couple of months time. So why so? And post-surgery, is the problem solved?
Okay. You are absolutely right, Dr. Raman. We need to understand that instant fix is a very good solution, no doubt about it. But instant fix has to be done for a problem which was acute. If the problem was acute, then the solution has to be acute. Like, for example, if at all anybody suffers from a fracture, if at all anybody has a fall as an accident, and this acute injury has to be repaired, then obviously surgical way is the best way to repair it. But if the problem was chronic, if the problem was not acute, then in that case, surgery is just going to be a time gap arrangement. It is not going to solve your problem, because in case of blockages, the problem had begun far earlier when you were in your childhood. The problem had begun from that moment. It did not begin yesterday. So, a solution which is not chronically solving these wrong lifestyle habits, if at all you have any other solution than solving this whole problem with the lifestyle change, if at all you keep the same lifestyle even after the surgery, you will have to suffer the same problem again. So, the right solution is your lifestyle change. The changes that you will bring in within yourself is going to be the right solution to keep yourself healthy. At the end of the day, whether you get your surgery done or whether you don't get your surgery done, you will have to change your lifestyle. Now, question arises that whether these lifestyle changes will actually reverse my blockage? Answer is yes. There are several case studies that we have been presenting. It's there on the YouTube also. There are several research papers also. So, we have been presenting this science to everybody. Whomsoever wants to learn about this science, that how does it reverse, you can go to YouTube and understand the whole science about it, that whether these blockages reverse or not. But if at all you want to reverse your blockages, I'll need that commitment from each and every individual about following the right lifestyle, and there is no great change that you got to bring in yourself. There are few small changes about what to eat, what not to eat, how to exercise, how much you enjoy while you're exercising, and how are you supposed to bear down your stress. If at all you do that, you are on the right track of reversing your blockages. So, whether to get a surgery done or not to get a surgery done is an individual choice. I would not comment on it. But if you have decided that you want to reverse your blockages without your surgery, we are there to help you.
Great, Dr. Sane. Thank you so much. It has been fantastic discussing with you on heart blockages. My dear friend, in the coming episodes, we'll dive deeper into some of these discussions and to the question that you have asked. Please keep sending your questions on the various platforms, YouTube podcast, Spotify, anywhere, wherever you are. Please do send us your questions and comments, and as you can see on the top right side corner, there is join the community. And if you're listening to this podcast as an audio podcast, do join the community on Facebook and follow the channel on YouTube. The channel and the community name is the same, Healthy Heart with Dr. Rohit Sane. Thank you, Dr. Sane, for your advice, for your guidance, and for your constant effort towards reducing heart diseases across the nation, and also to provide people with simple, easy, healthy, and not so difficult options that they can follow to regain their good health. With this, I thank you for joining in this episode. My dear friends, is Dr. Aman Kapoor signing over and out, wishing you a wonderful health. Till the next time, remember to like, share, comment, and follow the podcast series. Bye-bye. See you. Stay healthy, stay fit and fine.
See you. Bye.